Father, we thank you. Thank you for the privilege to gather. Thank you for eyes that see. Thank you for ears that hear as it should. Thank you for receptive hearts. Thank you for light that is in your word that lights up and floods every mind and every heart. Thank you for understanding. You receive illumination. And thank you because we're further established in grace, in truth, and in righteousness. We give you praise and glory for the willingness to do all that is written in the word concerning us. We thank you, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, you can have your seat. Amen. Just a brief exhortation tonight, and I trust that there will be a bit of more time to also pray. Before we conclude service tonight. Hallelujah. But it's just necessary to remind us as well of this. So it's a brief exhortation on ministry. Okay, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 17. Colossians 4 and verse 17. If you're there, say amen. Colossians chapter 4. Are you there now? Okay, can we read together? One, two, go. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Okay? Paul writes to the church at Colossae, and in concluding his letter, he says this, that it be said to Archippus to take heed to the ministry which he has received in the Lord, that he fulfill it. Of course, ministry must be kept simple as it is. It is simply service in the Lord. It is not a big building or a building. It is not finance management. It is not resource management. Ministry is what it is. So Paul says, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord. Of course, that word ministry is the word diakonia. Okay? Which simply refers to service, okay? Or an office that one occupies to serve others, or a position. Okay? In the light of an attendant, that duty where you go to a place and someone is there to attend to you, render you service, so that you can get value for what you paid for or get what you came for. Okay? So, there is a service that ought to be received in the Lord. And the statement Paul makes after shows that ministry is a responsibility. It's a responsibility that we receive in Christ. Every man in Christ ought to serve. In Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 11, it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. We can say, and he gave offices. All right? And then he distinguished the offices. And then he says, for, in verse 12, the perfecting of the saints for the work of ministry. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So offices were given to train or to render fit or sound for ministry. That's the word perfecting, katatismos. To render fit or sound. And then, of course, there will be growth and due service. So from Colossians 4 and 17, we see how Paul charges Archippus and says to the church at Colossae to charge Archippus to take heed to the ministry as you see. That is, to attend to it. To see that he has a responsibility in Christ. And fulfill it. Because that's the word play role, fulfill. It's a word that means to make replete, to finish, to complete. So there's such a thing as attending to the service that is due to you in Christ and doing it well. The body of Christ is designed in such a way that every addition to the body is to be trained up to the point where such a one begins to train others as well. In the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost came, They were all one accord in one place. There came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And of course, let's just move verse 4. They spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And of course, people were confounded. People that came from various destinations to celebrate Pentecost. And they were confused and amazed and confounded. And long and short, those folks came together and the apostles had the privilege to preach to them. When they were preached to, about 3,000 souls were added to the Lord or to the church. Okay? And in verse 42, he says, those folks continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Okay? That began to happen. So, that is, the apostles began to teach such ones. Now, that of course continued into chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, and then in chapter 6, there was murmurings, okay, amidst Hebrews and Grecians about the Grecian widows being daily neglected. Okay? And the apostle said, amongst yourself, find 7 men of honest report that we may appoint over this business so that we can give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And then they found 7 guys, including Stephen and Philip and those other names. Amen? Okay? And after they found those guys, brought them to the apostles laid their hands on them, prayed for them, and commissioned them to see or oversee that business so that no one lacks. Okay? But Luke recorded that after that was done, the word of God increased. Are you there? The word of God increased. In other words, church is a place where you manufacture ministers of the gospel. The church of Jesus belongs to God. The church of Jesus can be referred to as a set of men that are saved, okay, born again, washed by the blood. But that church has a role on the earth. And that role is to save all the world and make disciples of it. In Matthew 28, 18 to 20, you see how Jesus tells his disciples to go and make disciples of every nation. Baptize them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And amen. You see, Philip, in Acts 6, having been appointed in the welfare team, when persecution arose in Jerusalem, in Acts 8, went to Samaria. And by Philip, the city of Samaria heard the word, heard the gospel. People were saved. Miracles happened. Okay? And from there, he met that eunuch as well, from the eunuch to Azotus, and like that, and like that. And then in Acts 21, you find Philip called the evangelist, who had 4 daughters or 4 virgins that prophesied. Okay? So church is a body of growth. Growth into service. That's what we read in Ephesians 4, 11 to 13. The growth is not just to know or be able to explain. It is to grow into a stature, a position, or an office of service. Are you there? You look at Philip 2, one of those guys, one of the seven. By Acts 7, he was killed. Not a minute after, amen. Of course, it's not taking a while. He preached that very long sermon, amen. Basically, went through the scriptures. Although we don't see in Acts 7 a very detailed and conclusive, okay, message, but you know, there's no point making an issue out of that. All right. So Stephen was raised up into a fine and a solid minister of the gospel. What is this ministry? In Romans chapter 10. Romans 10. Paul began by saying that his heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. And then he says a few things, how that in their ignorance of God's righteousness, they go about to establish their own righteousness, but have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone that believeth. Verse 5. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law. And the man who doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in the heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what's yet it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him, shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who had believed our report? So then, faith by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. See, the ministry received in Jesus doesn't go beyond what we see here. That is, the responsibility to arouse the good news that is in Christ. The good news of man's redemption in Christ. The good news of God reconciling the world unto himself. Not imputing the trespasses of the world. In 2 Corinthians 5, 17 down to 21. Let's look at that. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, a new creature, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Of course, you know, Paul had been discussing ministry from chapter 2 into 3 into 4 and then 5 now. And then it says, all things of God who are reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and had given to us the ministry of reconciliation. The service, the duty, the responsibility of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God is beseeching by us, we pray in Christ that he reconciled unto God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And then in chapter 6, verse 1, Paul says, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. So, a man in Christ has one thing in view: service to the Lord. More growth ought to bring about more service. So, like we've said, the ministry in the Lord is specific. Not just any service. That's why Paul says in Colossians 4:17, the ministry that Archippus has received in the Lord, that he fulfill it. So, no matter the platform, no matter the fame that comes with it, no matter what of you, the ministry is basic. It is to serve God in the gospel of his Son. So God, having raised his Son from the dead, requires men to preach that good news in all the world. Jesus, when he rose from the dead, separated his disciples and taught them from Scripture that this is God's will and plan for mankind. In Luke 24:44-46, we see how Jesus specifically taught his disciples. He had done that earlier in verse 25-27 to Cleopas and the other disciple. We see in Acts 1:3-8, where Luke records that Jesus taught his disciples for 40 days, showing them from Scripture that the things that I said to you while I was here with you are the things that the prophets have prophesied and now fulfilled. I send you as ministers into all the world to herald this good news. So the mandate is clear. You receive the good news. You are baptized into the body of Christ. In the body of Christ is a training system to build you up to the point that, how do I say this now? You are fit or sound to serve in the gospel of Christ. And the service in the gospel of Christ is to demonstrate what has been done to you. We can see it like a closed system. Yes, there's growth. And we have a mandate to reach the world. But we have a simple mandate, simple pattern. When I say simple, I don't mean easy. Alright? Simple mandate, simple pattern, and that will forever be. The gospel is preached to you, you receive it to be saved, you get trained in the same gospel, you begin to reach out to others and to train others in the same gospel. Hallelujah. So the ministry of Jesus must not be seen as something you need to be specially commissioned for. I hesitated because I didn't want it to sound like it is not special. It is. Okay? Any man who has received God's love in his heart or received the gospel has signed up for a life of service. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, see what I almost said Paul. John said, "Hereby passing with the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." So, when you hear ministry, think service in the gospel of his son. Now, I want to highlight something that will help us. This service ought to be sacrificial. The ministry of Jesus is not that which is pleasurable. Now, what do I mean by that? I'm not saying it is a life of hardship for bad things to be happening to you, no. But it's not something that you regard as a cup of tea. Something you do at convenience, something you just do when you have the time, when you feel like, when you are happy and you have money and things, okay, now let me be grateful to God by serving him. No. See, the salvation that we have received in Christ is enough to be forever grateful to God. So, whatever state we are in, physically, financially, economically, academically, materially, socially, we have the responsibility to be sacrificial in our service to God. I As we saw in 1 John chapter 3 and 16, our service to God ought to mirror God's service to us. So the way we serve ought to be an example of God's sacrifice for our sins in Christ. So you can simply examine that and examine yourself. How sacrificial am I in serving the Lord? Some will hear that and begin to say, oh, are you saying we should be okay with sufferings, poverty, this? That's not the point. Okay? A sacrifice is a service you render to others at a cost. What you do for others, that costs you. We can say what good you do for others, that costs you. Now, ministry is done that way. There is an idea that since God has forgiven us of our sins in Christ, since we have received liberty in Christ, since God has set us free from sin and death in Christ, that defines or colors how we serve Him. It's not true. So people begin to think, you know, serving the Lord or being a man in Christ is about increasing in everything, in pleasure, in wealth, in happiness, in what have you. Okay? Service in Christ is what specific thing you do for the good of others in Christ that will cost you. That is, a service you render to humanity on God's behalf that will cost you as a person. The same way redemption cost God His Son. That is sacrifice. John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His Son. So you can say, God so loved that He sacrificed His Son. That whosoever believes should not perish but have everlasting life. In 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, Paul points that out. The grace of God is that He was rich, but for your sakes He became poor, that you, through His poverty, might be rich. Ministry must mirror that sacrifice. So it wouldn't be as you are seeing a movie. You'll be speaking forth to the nations.
as you are sleeping. You began to sleep 9:30 p.m., snored till 3 a.m., you opened your eyes to wee, and just from the toilet to your bed, say, "Ma bro, shara bala bala bala." Receive the light of the gospel of Christ in Jesus' name, amen. Then you go and sleep. It won't happen that way. People will be blessed. People will be liberated from their sins. People will receive everlasting joy, but the service rendered for them to receive it must be sacrificial. That's the pattern. There's no way out. There's no other way. Hallelujah. So you must remind yourself regularly, examine yourself, how exactly you practice your Christian faith. Does it cost you your time, your money, your comfort? Certain associations, does it cost you privileges? Ministry ought to be seen through these lenses. Just before Paul said what he said to Archippus in verse 12. That's Colossians 4:12. He says, "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluted you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. I bear him record that he had a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis." In Philippians chapter 2, you see another that Paul records by the name Epaphroditus. From verse 25, "Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I send him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, he may rejoice, that I may be less sorrowful." There is a need to re-examine our commitment to the gospel of Christ. Praise to God, we know what ministry is, and we know what it requires. We know that we ought to pray, and we know that we ought to pray long. We know that we ought to depend on the power in the place of prayer to reach the lost and to raise disciples for the Lord. We know what the message entails. We come to understand what exactly is the crux of Bible study or the Bible message. We know that the gospel of Christ, okay, is the summary or the essence of the entire writings of the prophets. We know that Genesis to Malachi, and as well Matthew to Revelation, ought to be interpreted or preached in the light of the gospel of Christ. We know that we ought to stick to the interpretation of the apostles and interpret the scriptures that way. But we must begin to understand as well that ministry has no other way to be done but by sacrifice. So, a man in Christ who cannot forgo pleasures, privileges, forgo certain things, bear things for the sake of the gospel is probably not ready to serve. As a matter of fact, we can begin from to be trained to be fit or sound for ministry. You find how people embrace ministry, maybe because it has authority, fame, it brings about popularity and all of that, but run from the training. There's no way you can be trained for such tasks and it will be easy. Just be a bed of roses. No. Let me paint a picture to you. Imagine it was you and a few folks the Lord said to in Matthew 28:18-20, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I mean, if you understand what he's saying, you say, Lord, how far? What did you say? All the world. How are we going to do this, sir? You mean all the world or all our world? Is it the world? That's a whole lot. Okay? So, the training for ministry must be seen. As rigors. Jesus, in dying for our sins, when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, cried to the Father and said, Lord, if it be your will, let this cup, that is this cup of suffering, let it pass over me. But, not as I will, but as you will. Are you there? So, Jesus suffered. To be raised from the dead. That not only shows us how we enjoy remission of sins or the eternity of salvation today, but it mirrors to us ministry. To see that person lost in traditions, lost in religion, lost in what have you, to receive the light of the glorious gospel of Christ will require labor. So whenever you see the joy of salvation in a man's heart, know that a man has labored for that to be possible. So it's important to begin to see yourself I mean, this is the reason for the local church. The reason for the constant Bible study, constant praying, is so that you can see yourself as part of this. Ready to sacrifice. Ready to do all that it takes. Ready to count the cost. Ready to see himself as one or a laborer needed in the harvest, whose hands are on the plow, are not ready to look back. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, see what Paul says to Timothy. He had started in verse 1 and had said that my son be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He is thou ahead of me among many who the same coming on the faithful men shall be able to teach others. Verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The other one man that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. So he used the soldier to paint the picture of a minister of the gospel of Christ. He used an athlete to paint the same picture. That a soldier focuses on his duty and he endures it. Hallelujah. So from this, we can say ministry ought to be endured. It is a service that is sacrificial, that you endure. You use an athlete as well. I mean, imagine a powerful country is coming against another country, and then the army of the other country rises and defends their territory, defends the nation, and then they eventually prevail. And everybody comes out and begins to rejoice on the street, and they're happy. Whoa! And the praise of them everywhere. Before that was possible, amen, what first of all happened? Some people suffered. Some people probably died. Amen. An athlete as well. When you just put on your TV and you begin to watch Olympics or IAAF or whatever, you know, track and field event, and it's time for 100 meters and the whole world is waiting, and then poop, someone runs, and if you remember how Usain Bolt used to run. Amen. They will start together. It will maintain social distance. Amen. And then you'll be excited. Whoa! Or even football. Say, my club, we won the match. From the comfort of your sitting room, where some people are training regularly, where some people even suffer injury during training. They are training to come perform. They eventually get injured and don't make it. to the point, or, you know, they'll pass the ball. You will say, ah, curve it now, curve it. Go and curve it. It's easy to curve. Release ball, go and release it. Let's see if you will last 5 minutes on the pitch. They went through training, rigorous one. For you to see such beauty and delight in it. Ministry ought to be rigorous. I mean, as young believers, we like when we see a video of a meeting and we see a man of God in white suit and he says, and he says, "Shupal, God, everywhere." And he says, you're excited. And he says, "Wow." And then they call you for a small meeting. 2.5 people there. You wear white suits too. You get there. No. And he said, "Take it, brother." But you forget the labor of many years. You forget the praying on the mountains. I mean, for a man like Joseph, Apostle. Sorry for that. Joseph, you hear of the escapades, praise God, that he did in ministry and the people he raised. I mean, people know of the things that were done, but few people know of what happened or how they were trained before he got to that. How they go to train on, you know, they pray on mountains. Go to pray in forests deliberately where there are snakes and scorpions. And this one is not power to trample on them. To stay awake and labor for lives. If not, you'll pass on to glory. Hallelujah. Labor. So in ministry, you must see it that way. Don't let anybody sugarcoat ministry for you. Now, I am not saying all these things to scare anybody or make you feel somehow or out of place. Mm-mm. See, the truth is this. The man in Christ who has the Spirit of Christ, I'm not saying there's a man in Christ that doesn't have the Spirit of Christ. The man in Christ who has the Spirit of Christ has that spirit of sacrifice. It's not something you need to ask God for. It is who he has made you. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify us unto himself, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Hallelujah. Ministry must be seen in that light. If you are really going to do stuff for God, you must be ready to do it by sacrifice. Now, when I say sacrifice, I don't mean somebody now telling you that if you are going to walk, for example, in the height of revelational gifts, go and bring your company and all your life savings and say sacrifice. And that's not what I'm saying. All right? I mean, a commitment to a cause that will cost you. Not what will just fall on your laps on a silver platter. No. It will cost you. You will have a journey. It will be seen as labor. I mean, today, many people like to No, let me say many. Many people like to teach God's word now. It seems lovely. They'll begin to teach, explain. But the labor that goes into it, many don't want to be a part of it. Imagine as this service is done, there are people who have been praying for the past 3 days and they've been looking for a teacher. And somehow, by revelation, they found you and said, please come and teach us after this meeting. And the time of the teaching is 12 hours. Will you do it? Will you be ready too? They say, men of God, let's take it easy. We'll just do 1 hour, 5 minutes today. We'll arrange for another time next week. And then patiently we will grow in Christ. Hallelujah. Would you be ready? So, a commitment to a cause that will cost you is what sacrifices. Now, in Zechariah chapter 4, Zechariah 4, verse 6. From verse 1, and the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his 7 lamps thereon, and 7 pipes to the 7 lamps which are upon the top thereof, and 2 olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? That thou shalt become a plain, and it shall bring forth the headstone thereof, with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto him. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, I say, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, his hands shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto thee. Of course, if you look at this, that would be in regard to what God will do for man in Christ. To say that it will not be by power, nor by might, but by my spirit. Okay? What is this saying? The words there, power or might and power, are words that speak of or refer to earthly means or human means. That word might can be taken for an army. The word power as well can be taken for force. Something achieved firmly or by being firm. Force or strength or something, or you can also refer to wealth. So it will not be by that, but it will happen by my spirit. Of course, if you see what we read in verse 9, the foundation has been laid by the hands of Zerubbabel. The same hands shall also finish it. So it will not be by what man has, capacity, force, army, wealth, what have you, but it will happen by the Spirit. Okay? Our salvation today, our forgiveness of sins, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 11, it says, but so were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord by the Spirit of our God. Who we are today is by the Spirit. That is what God accomplished himself that no arm of flesh can accomplish. Arm of flesh will fail, but it's possible by the Spirit. The ministry of Jesus as well ought to be a dependence on the Spirit of God. A dependence on the power of the Spirit. It will not be by my human efforts. It will be by the Spirit. Now, some get this wrong and think that, okay, what this is saying is it won't be by rigorous labor. Mm-mm. It won't be by labor. Whatever you do so hard, that is you trying to accomplish it. You know, when it is God, it just happened, pew, without you knowing. You will pray for someone. Nothing will happen. God says you are still trying by yourself. When you want me to walk, you will leave the scene. You will stop praying. You will start praising me. Sorry. Don't let me cause any issues. Amen. You will leave the scene. You do so. I will come in and make things happen. Okay. Of course, in labor, in sacrificial commitment to the cause of the gospel, you can begin to depend on the arm of flesh. You can begin to shift your gaze from the Spirit or the power of the Spirit and begin to focus on human and earthly means or endeavor. If the Lord says, reach the city, then you say, to reach this city, to take a lot, then you begin to look for money. Before you are able to do what the Lord has called you to. Or you begin to see your hours of praying as how God rewards you to be able to serve him aright. No! So, don't confuse it. It must be done sacrificially by or dependent on the Spirit of God. So it's not like you're praying for long hours so that you can, the more I sweat, the more the power of God. The more I sweat, the more the anointing. No. As you labor, as you do it rigorously, you're depending on the Spirit of God to make the results achievable. It is still by the Spirit that heart will be convinced of the gospel. It is by the Spirit that man will grow. It is by the Spirit that a man will comprehend in his understanding spiritual realities. Okay? So, I charge you tonight. Give yourself more to the service of God. Spend your resources more so that you can be trained and so that others can receive from God through you. Deprive yourself of certain privileges more so that there can be more for the service of God. There can be more time, more resources, more what of you for God's service. Some believers today have never prayed all night. Never. And some of them are on social media teaching and leading crusades and revolution and reformation. Examine yourself tonight and commit to do more. In prayer, in Bible study, in evangelism, in discipleship, commit yourself more in learning. How much have you used your church notes? Let's start from there. Can you remember what was taught 3 weeks ago? How well are you committing your mind, your memory to the reading, the quoting, and the understanding of scriptures? Take heed to your ministry, which you have received in the Lord, that you fulfill it. Be deliberate in your being responsible in Christ. Being responsible for the salvation of others, being responsible for the spiritual development of others, being responsible for the dogged commitment of others in the service of God. In the church, your role is to sing. How much of time have you committed to praying, to singing in tongues, to waiting on the Lord, to fasting? To sing what God will have you sing. Or have you been all about voice training alone? Or you've committed yourself to much learning so that you can sing and bless the Lord as He wants, not as the world wants. Hallelujah. So, take this wholeheartedly. and make amends where you need to. And take it more seriously. That the things that you are being inspired to do week in, week out, the instructions you're being given, the things the things you know to do from God's word, that you're doing them regularly, you see them as what you ought to be doing, and you are willing to commit your time, your energy, your resources, your word of view, whether you are in lack or in abundance, whether things are going on well. See, when we talk like this, it doesn't mean that we don't care about you, how you are, whatever. It doesn't mean that if you are in lack, too bad for you, remain in lack. Just ensure that you do it. In spite of those things, be committed to the service of God and let your service to God be sacrificial. And as we always say, it won't be sacrificial in the spirit. It will be visible. Another man can see your service to God and call it sacrifice. It's not, it's between me and God. He knows I'm sacrificed. Hallelujah. Let's just pray for 2 minutes. And let's pray for ourselves. Pray. Please, we just have a short time. Pray very well. Fervently. Don't make it longer than necessary. Pray.